Welcome to Razzle Dazzle, a podcast about video games and pop culture with an emphasis on our favorites.
All right, it's Razzle Dazzle time.
That's our co-host Tatum.
Hello.
The sound guy Joe.
Hello, hello.
This was your pick, right? So like,
yeah.
Why?
I mean, I think it's just such a great underrated movie. Not only for the practical effects and everything that goes into it, but also for some reason I love movies that double as spooky, scary, also Christmas.
Yeah.
Like Nightmare Before Christmas. Yeah. Like I just love movies that kind of double dip because then you can enjoy them whole year round.
Yeah, right.
And it's always on theme. It's always on brand. Also, I'm just a sucker for
cute things.
Just, yeah, but also the special effects and practical effects, like I said, in it, like all the puppetry in it is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's so freaking good. And so many, I think one time I saw a picture of the puppets that they used for the movie, and it was just hundreds upon hundreds of these little tiny creatures.
Was this Henson?
Was this Jim Henson?
No, it was not.
I don't think
Jim
it was.
No?
It was another guy who was famous.
Not even his studio?
They actually, do not look like Jim Henson creation.
Oh, that's not what I mean.
No, but Jim Henson also did Legend of the Dark Crystal, which, I mean,
it's a great freaking film.
Which is very similar in vain, at least, to a lot of the Gremlin practical effects. So I actually have no clue, but I do know I met the guy who did the voices for Gremlins, who did the sounds for them.
Oh, yeah,
Michael Winslow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did a film with him.
Cool.
Like, he was one of the first films I ever did. Like, he was just there. And I was like, oh, hi. He was like, hi.
Did you recognize his voice?
I mean, no. He wasn't like, hi. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's where I know you from.
He didn't meet you and go,
so
food.
Unfortunately, no.
So you met him, but not Howie Mandel?
I the voice wish of Gizmo. I met Howie Mandel. It's, no, just Michael Winslow.
He's the same guy as Deal or No Deal, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
He's also a very famous TikToker.
What? Obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. What?
Howie Mandel. He's famous on TikTok.
He's so problematic in like the sweetest of ways. But yeah, Michael Winslow is really cool. I thought it was really cool because the film I worked with him on, this is a small sidebar, but the film I did with him was like a random horror thriller, like just small indie film. And he kept adding, it was like a dramatic scene he was doing, and he kept adding weird noises into it. Like making noises, almost like a Foley artist would.
Yeah.
While he was doing things. Like this guy's talking about his estranged relationship with his family. And he's like, tell me about that. And he's playing a bartender. He's like doing things. Because Michael Winslow, like, I forgot, like, he did a bunch of sounds for, like, Spaceballs and Gremlins and all these different
and
things.
And Police Academy.
Literally all these things.
Come
so
on.
So he just started to do things in this scene. And the director was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, he's a...
But it's Michael Winslow, so you don't say anything.
Yeah. I'm reading here that Michael Winslow and Peter Cullen were the majority of the Gremlins' voices. And Frank Welker, the voice of Megatron, was Stripe.
That's so
just
cool.
Just learning that, it kind of made me love the movies even more. That's really cool.
I love how much work went into picking these specific voice actors
for these
creatures.
Yeah.
That's so silly, and it's so cool.
Yeah. But you kind of want, like, most of the attention to detail on the thing that the movie
is named after.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So without, like, all the incredible special effects, which I'm sure you want to get into, and, you know, all the visuals and every little piece of detail needs to be about these Gremlins to make the movie fit, or else it's just another, Hallmark movie.
Yeah. Take
Hallmark
out the Gremlins.
Take out the Gremlins. What is it? It's like another day in
Back to the
Future.
Take out what the movie's about.
Like, what else do you want?
Hallmark movie.
Yeah. Listen, this is not one of Steven Spielberg's greatest works. Like, there's so many errors. There's so many, like,
but
like,
that's what makes it campy and
stuff.
Great.
I know, with the Gremlins. But again, take those guys out.
Okay, but you're taking
it's
out
a bad
what
movie.
The movie. Yeah, you're taking
aim after. That's my point.
Okay, we got Star Wars, but you can't go to space.
Yeah.
Police Academy, but we can't have any cops.
I mean,
terrible movie. Hallmark
it's
movie.
Just Academy.
This is Star Wars, just wars.
This is the dad got his son a normal pet.
Yeah.
What's
he got him a dog.
Here?
It's Marley and me.
What's the dog doing?
It's a Marley.
It's Winn-Dixie.
Oh, man. You know that there was a Key and Peele skit about, like, them pitching the second Gremlins movie, and it was so good.
Yeah?
It was just Jordan Peele just, like, saying all of the crazy shit that was in Gremlins 2 in a boardroom setting, And he was like, you had me at Gremlin Vajayjay.
Oh my God.
It was really, really funny, but only if you watched Gremlins 2, which is such a strange subsect of an audience for
oddly
a comedy show.
Oddly specific, yeah. I loved how self-aware Gremlins 2 was. Mm. Like when they hijack the screen and then the mom comes out and she's like, that is the worst movie I've ever seen. It's even worse than the first one. Like that's so funny. I love when movies, especially for it being made in 1990, it having that little self-aware thing. I thought that was really cool.
Wasn't it also in the first one where like halfway through the movie, like the Gremlins hijack the projectors or like the VCR or whatever.
They're watching
it depends on the cuts.
Yeah, depending on the cuts, I bet. For sure. But they all go to the movie theater and watch Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Yeah,
they do that. I love that. I love putting them in modern day, like having that. That's so funny to me.
On that note, do you remember in Gremlins 2, the guy that's reviewing the movie Gremlins in Gremlins 2? That is a real film critic that gave a scathing review to Gremlins 1.
Yeah.
But they had him in the second one, and he liked that one better. Killed him in Gremlins 2. And he was like, I like that one better.
Didn't they do that in Scream? Or, yes.
Probably.
They did a bit like that, no? Where, like, some YouTuber was, like, criticizing one of the early Scream movies, and they added that in, like, a later film?
They probably did.
But that's also YouTube in 2022.
Well, yeah, but, like, same concept.
Same concept, but I think it's a film reviewer who was supposed to be serious was then grabbed by a bunch of puppets and eaten
off
screen.
That's so funny. Yeah. I love self-aware horror movies. Mm-hmm. They're so good, especially when they're silly, like little green puppets everywhere.
I just love it when things break the fourth wall. I love meta commentary. I love fourth wall breaking and like almost anything when it's done right. And I think Gremlins does a great way of doing it because it's silly. It's dumb.
I agree because it's not like the Marvel movie fourth wall break where it's like, did you guys see that? Like, I don't like that, dude.
There's tongue in cheek and then there's like. It done correctly.
There's like almost fan service.
Yeah.
And it's like, ow.
I think the Hulk Hogan one was a little silly.
That's a great bit.
It is.
But that's a great freaking bit, man.
It was a little too silly.
What? Come on.
I mean, Hulk Hogan, great wrestler, who is also an actor.
The man. Oh, yeah.
All right, you gremlins, you better put back on this movie.
It's such a great bit.
It's an okay bit. It was a great bit at the time.
I think the fact that it could be defended as a good bit is very telling of the movie itself. Like, if you just put Hulk Hogan cameo in any other movie, it would be like immediate no. But the fact for Gremlins, you can be like, well,
wait a minute.
Let him cook. Like, hear him out. Like, that's so funny. Was it a big studio? I forgot. What studio did Gremlins?
So it was Warner Brothers. And Joe Dante, who directed the first one, the studios wanted a second one. But he didn't want to make a sequel. But he agreed to it, giving him two things. 5 times the budget of the first one, which is fair. Mm-hmm. But the other one that was uncommon, complete creative control.
Yeah.
So he was in charge of everything. And I think that showed because of how creative the sets were. That mall is a real mall. They designed the mall so that you can walk into any store and see this is a real store.
Mm-hmm.
With a working elevator. A practical set with a working elevator. Sure, it only had 2 floors, but it worked. And that's pretty cool.
I thought the creative direction they went in terms of Gremlin design was really interesting. How they had all the different variations of Gizmo that all looked different.
Oh.
And not only that, but we see this gargoyle-esque one who turns into an actual gargoyle. And then we have the iconic green female gremlin who just, she's so camp. I love her. And there was the one who was black and white.
Mm.
I don't remember his name, but he goes like bonkers. And I love that. I like how they weren't just like, and the same gremlins from the first movie are back for the second. Like, they actually changed them and added on to them.
Yeah. They gave them more personality, more character than just Stripe being, like, a dick or whatever. I mean, they were all dicks, to be honest.
I like how their main thing is, like, some of them straight up murder people.
Yeah.
But then other ones just minorly inconvenience people.
Right? Some are pranksters, some are
some are mass murderers mm-hmm. and some are just little turds. Mm-hmm. And I really like that.
I think it's very funny when the main villain of your horror movie is just a little shit. they don't rip people apart. That was a misconception I had. My mom is... I love the woman, but she's very, like, sheltered and sensitive. And she described this movie as terrifying.
Interesting.
To a, like, 7-year-old me. And I was like, oh, my God, gremlins. Because what I did see the scene where they're all eating chicken. Mm. But my thought was, oh, that's not chicken. They're eating a person. And I'm like, oh, my God, gremlins, I'm so scared. And I guess I just kind of kept that until this year, until you were like, I want to do an episode on Gremlins. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, happy holidays, everybody.
Yeah, I was expecting like a really terrifying thing, but this was a campy, like a movie.
But if she's okay, to be fair, if she's recommending it, it could be either one or two things. Very campy or very freaking disturbing and horrifying.
Yeah. So. Sorry, guys. Quirky girl moment. Or a little bit of both, which I really like. I like that niche little pocket of media, especially in the late 1980s, early 1990s, where you have super heavy practical effects, incredibly original storylines, lots of fourth wall breaking, mediocre writing, but a huge budget. Mm. And I think Gremlins falls under that. Little Monsters falls under that. There's just so many. I feel like Jurassic Park would also fall under that in terms of puppetry and practical effects being used in that sense. But yeah, I just love that. And also being incredibly terrifying, but also kind of campy in some ways.
Star Wars. Early Star Wars, the animatronics, the actual puppets, phenomenal. Mm-hmm. The suits, you know, like, come on.
So cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like that Gremlins falls into that little... niche.
For sure. This was your first time ever watching both Gremlins?
Yeah.
Or did you watch the first one like when you were young, or this was just your first time overall?
I had seen that scene like played in like a compilation edit or something.
Okay.
And then I was like terrified out of my little head. And aww. I was like, man, she wants to do an episode on Gremlins. I guess I gotta grow a pair. And I bought it on Amazon Prime and I loved it. And then I watched the second one the next day. Mm-hmm. This was all this last week. So, like, yeah, 22 years old and my first Gremlins experience. I guess I'm a late bloomer. Yeah. What can I say?
So, initial thoughts. Go.
Okay. I thought the beginning was a little slow. Mm-hmm. You know, we get it. Mm-hmm. We get that's it. He buys the dad buys Gizmo from the Chinese salesman, or I guess market owner.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, we know from the beginning things are going to go bad. He's going to break one of these rules because he's a scumbag. He's a cheap guy. Terrible inventor. And then it takes the whole Christmas movie approach for like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Which I think was a little too long because I was expecting a horror movie and it was not yet Christmas as I was watching it. So I was like a little out of it. But then it popped off and man did it pop off quickly. You get the interesting special effects of them shooting out of Gizmo's back.
Yeah.
The scales.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the doctor and their personalities when he's like taking their blood. And then he feeds them after midnight. And then you see these reptilian guys out of nowhere. You're used to cute little Gizmo. It was like a little cat dog sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You're used to that. But then you see these like, if Yoda was on bath salts, you see these guys running around and it was amazing for the time. I recognized then, like, I would have thought this was real.
Yeah.
If I was in the 1984, you know,
the pool scene was scary. Cause Ray doesn't get into the pool and like, that's when like a bunch of them come out. Terrifying.
That's a good analogy about the Yoda on acid or whatever.
Oh yeah.
Because I mean, look at Grogu. And then look at Gizmo. I'm pretty sure it's like a fact that Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau took Gizmo as an inspiration for Grogu, a baby Yoda. So nicely put.
These movies are really, really camp and really, really funny.
Yeah.
I thought the bar scenes were great.
Yes.
I thought the different characters at the time were great. You got Gremlet with the makeup and everything. You got them all playing poker downstairs. You got the Flasher Gremlin, who was in both movies, which that was an interesting choice by my man Joe Dante. But what can I say? I thought it was amazing how many like different designs for Gremlins were made for only like a frame or two of actual movie.
Yeah.
And I thought that's really remarkable. That's a man who loved what he's doing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like the second one better because of just how many pop culture references it makes.
Yeah.
So many.
So freaking many. Like the whole corporation joke with the parody of Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. It's fine because he wasn't president then. It was just a real estate joke and how, what's his name, Clamp? His name is like Clump or something.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and his book looks just like Art of the Deal.
Mm-hmm.
He has the, I don't think it was confirmed yet, but the affair with his secretary.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That was very funny. And the different pop culture references in the Gremlins design. You got that one that's dressed up as, okay, hold on, I got to go through. I like Brain Gremlin. Brain Gremlin is...
Sophisticated Gremlin?
Sophisticated, yeah. Gremlin. His name is Brain Gremlin. I thought his quotes were hilarious. I thought he was very funny, but they're also kind of cheesy. You know who else is smart and cheesy? Neil deGrasse Tyson. For my game, I'm going to say a quote that's either Neil deGrasse Tyson, famous astrophysicist, or Brain Gremlin.
Oh my gosh.
The universe is under no obligation to make sense to you.
Neil,
there you go. Now look at that. Was that civilized? Clearly not.
Gremlin.
Fun,
but
Gremlin.
In no sense civilized. Now bear in mind, none of us have been in New York before. There are Broadway shows. We'll have to find out how to get tickets.
Is that all the same clip? That's the same
paragraph.
One?
Oh, he has
this is a monologue.
If your ego starts out, I am important, I am big, I am special, then you're in some from disappointments when you look around.
Gremlin.
Oh, I'm going to go with Neil.
That was Neil. Yes, I'd say it's a full-scale panic. Are you having a run on the banks yet? Well, it's rather brutal here. We're advertising our clients to put everything they've got into canned foods and shotguns.
Gremlin.
Brain. Gremlin.
It's Brain Gremlin. What we want is civilization, and what you and your viewers have here is civilization.
Neil.
Ooh, that's a slightly ambiguous one. For funsies, I'll say Brain.
It was Brain Gremlin.
Okay. Yeah.
The niceties, the fine points, diplomacy, compassion, standards, manners, tradition. That's what we're reaching towards.
Neil.
It would be really camp if this was Brain. I want to say Brain.
It is Brain Gremlin.
Yes!
No one is dumb who is curious. The people who ask don't ask questions remain clueless throughout their lives.
Neil.
That was Neil. My point of that game is that Neil deGrasse Tyson, he's a great content creator.
He's a little
silly sometimes.
Content
viewing
creator.
Neil deGrasse Tyson as a content creator, like he was a streamer.
He kind of is.
I mean, he is.
He kind of is.
Okay, but then I see him on TikTok Live being like, thank you for the gifts. Yum. Yum, yum. Thank you.
With his nice-ass voice, too.
Yeah. I can't do it because I'm a Famale, but...
Joe, what's your best Neil deGrasse Tyson impression?
One of the ways our species will end will be from forces from space.
That's a terrible impression,
Audience
Joe.
Booing.
You need
sound
to
effect.
Work on it, man.
Sorry.
All right? God.
Sorry, I tried
like,
my best.
You're usually really good with impressions on certain characters, but this one... falls flat.
Yeah, I'll say it. Wasn't realistic at all.
Let's move on. Tatum.
Yeah.
So since this is your episode, tell us about your experience with Gremlins. You recently just saw the second one.
Yeah.
When did you see the first one?
I think I saw, I don't have an exact memory of when I saw it, but I know I watched the first one a while ago. My family's always been really good about exposing me to different kinds of movies of different eras, not just like one genre,
mm-hmm.
especially when it comes to this kind of, it's horror, but it's not horror like slasher.
Yeah.
So I want to say, if I could ballpark around when I first saw it, I would say probably 11, 12, probably. I actually haven't seen the first one in probably a few years, but I know I just like it so much because, as I said, I just love that niche pocket, like Little Shop of Horrors. That's another one that falls in that campy, but also could be really terrifying if you're a young kid kind of vein. But yeah, I watched it when I was 12, which is, as everyone knows, a super susceptible age when you're intaking media to be like, this is what I will base my entire personality off of now. So I think I definitely got probably a good portion of my, I wouldn't say like, oh, all my humor comes from Gremlins. That's so silly. That's so silly. I've said that on like 8 episodes, I think. But I think it definitely enhanced my humor of also being just like a little turd.
Yeah.
Too. I think I probably, 100%, that probably definitely happened. I will probably ask my mom. She will be like, yeah, you were a little shit.
Mom, when did I start becoming a little shit? When didn't you stop?
Literally.
Mm-hmm.
But one scene from it that I always remembered for some reason, this one specific scene, A, when they're playing poker, B, the pool, just that, I think that transition of him jumping in and all of them coming out is really cool. And then also, for some reason, them hijacking the old woman's chair
that
goes
so
up the
funny.
Stairs and they make it go super fast and she flies out of the roof. I remember watching that being like, like shaking in my boots. Like, I was terrified.
For a one or two story house, that's a long ass, you know, thing that she was on. The chair?
They let her cook. She probably reached maximum velocity of like 60 miles per hour on that thing. They were not, those were the gremlins that genuinely wanted to murder. They killed for sport.
She was an asshole anyways. She was a bitch.
Yeah, she's gonna kill that dog and was like really happy to do it.
True.
It's okay. Such a strange
You guys make a good point. Reparations. The gremlins actually fight for what's good. Hot take.
Gremlins are the man of the people. Gremlin vigilantism. I'm for it.
Yeah, yeah.
And you recently watched the second one?
Yeah, I watched the second one. I was just doing homework and I was playing, it was playing in the background last night. So I was able to catch like bits and pieces. I just wanted an overview to honestly just see how similar it was. I feel like when you dive into sequels of when you really like the first one, sometimes the second one, it's like, oh my God, yeah, I can't sit through this. I really liked it. I liked the direction they took with the storyline. I do feel like it went a lot quicker in terms of buildup than the first one did. Mm. And it kept getting worse in the sense of like the stakes kept getting higher. Like it kept getting worse. Like, oh, there's also this gremlin that does this. Oh, by the way, they can go in sunlight now. Like it was all these different things that was added on. And I loved that. So I thought that was really cool. Whereas the first one, it was just like the gremlins plus evil gremlin, gremlin the sequel, there's more. Whereas the second one had more of like a this happens, this happens, this happens, this happens, and then ends with the wedding. that was really silly, but I really liked that.
Yeah, the first one has to have that build up because you're like getting introduced to the whole mythology of what a Mogwai is, what are gremlins.
Whole backstory,
which makes sense. But you know, after you already know what a gremlin is, jumping into the sequel, then it's just like, okay, ready for this roller coaster ride? Mm-hmm. Let's freaking go.
I think it was great for the time, like introducing that sense, those creatures. I could only, what I would give to be someone who was able to see that movie in theaters for the first time when it first came out. Oh my gosh, I bet that would be terrifying because those puppets are pretty. Even really for right now standards, they're really detailed. They're really realistic.
Yeah.
I really like them. And I feel like if I saw those in theater, I would be a little bit like I'd be picking up my feet at night before I get in bed. I'd be like, oh, no, I don't want no gremlins coming out, catching my toesies. Nope. Oh, what I would give. What I would give to see that movie in theaters.
Well, the reason they look so real is because they are real. The makers of these puppets, I just looked it up. I feel so bad. It was both Chris Wallace and Rick Baker. They made the gremlins real. They made real puppets and real sort of animatronics for these movies, and they made hundreds of them for the second one, which is it's a lost form of art. Everything's chalked up to CGI now.
Exactly.
And practical, like not practical, I'm sorry, and partial puppets and animatronics and stuff like that. Yeah.
I wonder how much of that fell on the actor's responsibility because, like, I've done Little Shop of Horrors where, like, as a stage show where the guy who plays Seymour, he holds Audrey too, and his hand is puppeteering. So you're acting two parts.
Yeah.
You know? And so I wondered, especially in the second movie, one of the gremlins jumps on the guy and he has to stuff it in a bag, right? Mm-hmm. And the bag's moving around. And I'm like, I wonder how much of that responsibility, because some of them are partial animatronics, but I want to see the inner mechanics of like all the different latches or levers or things that they have to pull to move the eyes, move the eyebrows, move the mouth, move the nose. And I want to know how much, and like, I would love to speak to an actor, be like, how difficult was it to learn all of those mechanics? And you're acting for two people. You're acting two entirely different parts multiple times throughout the film, which I thought was really cool.
I wonder if ILM had anything to do with the Gremlins movies. Because they do almost everything, right? In terms of special effects and of course, CGI and stuff like that. They started with Star Wars. Not started with Star Wars, but like Star Wars is one of the big examples. I wonder if they did. Doesn't matter now, but like, yeah, I think that's the biggest draw for the gremlins other than like, oh, look at these stupid little creatures or whatever.
I want to know where those puppets are now because there were hundreds of them.
Oh, probably in just like a Warner Bros. Lot or something.
I want to buy one.
They're made out of rubber and latex, so they probably look fine. Those don't degrade very easily. I know how they made the final, like, at the end of the second movie, mm-hmm. when all of them are on the floor and then electric gremlin kills them all.
Yeah.
They made a, like, model of this mall set with miniature gremlins that are about 4 inches tall and then had them all, like, connected to strings, for lack mm-hmm. of a better word, and just pulled them all down with green cool. goop. To be their blood.
So oh, yeah, they the would, one melting and stuff. Yep. That was freaky.
Like, in the first film?
Yeah.
No, the second oh. one. He's literally melting into yeah. the floor.
Oh.
You need, and it's like, that's a really long sequence,
it's a,
too.
It's a real Wicked yeah, Witch of the so West.
So good. I feel like you would have to make it long to, like, account for all the work that goes into it. Mm-hmm. Like, if I was one of those puppeteers or, like, people making puppets and they got it over in, like, 5 seconds, I'd be like, mm-mm, no, run it back. Run it back.
$3,000 for 15 seconds.
Bro, that's what's crazy is I bet so many people watching it don't think about all the work that went into just making those puppets. Like, I'm assuming they're all hand-painted and hand-designed and everything, and, like, that's, oh, that's just crazy to me. Hundreds of them, dude.
From what I can find, here's an officially licensed Gremlins puppet. For $250.
Oh.
It's not that bad.
That's not doable. That's not bad.
For like for a prop, I guess.
Was it in one of the movies?
Don't
one
know.
Of two. There's yeah. like this weird thing with the third one.
It says, honestly, I would so be down for a third one if they relied mostly on practical effects with slight enhancements of CGI. I would be yeah. okay with that. But I think in order to do it right, it would be so difficult to be done right because the first two movies are so campy
mm-hmm.
and they do break the fourth wall and they have all these references and they're so, I don't know. I would really worry about doing it now. I would worry it would be cringy.
Yeah, I think.
Don't do it if you don't got what's Joe Dante. Joe Dante's, I think he's retired, but he's chilling. And if they make a Gremlins 3, it has to be Joe Dante. And if it's not, then I'm out.
Has campiness, how we see it, how much has it changed from the 90s?
I would say no? it's changed quite a bit because I feel like some people's version of campiness in their head is just things that used to be terrible.
Mm.
And it's like, well, so, some of them are, but some of them were good to begin with. Like, I see the first Evil Dead movie as campy in the sense of it developed into something really good.
So terrible as in, like, production-wise? Like, this is just, this all turned out bad.
Some people, yeah, I would say, okay. are like, oh, this room. Is camp when it's, the yeah, when it's, like, legitimately bad. Like, yeah. the first Evil Dead movie, legitimately so bad.
Right.
But it developed, and the potential was, and they eventually turned into a really cool franchise, but like the Gremlins 1, it's campy in the sense of it's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good movie to begin with. And I feel like now, I think it'd be really hard to make a movie that's camp in the same way.
Camp to be campy or, see,
that's the thing. If they try to be campy, if you try to make it camp, it's not going to be camp.
Yeah, so like, but if you're serious about all these jokes like Evil Dead, then it becomes campy. So I guess there's a, that's a tough balance.
It's, it would be such a difficult balance. I wouldn't even know like where to start in the sense of, also, you don't want to be doing how I mentioned Marvel movies earlier, yeah. like too much fan service where they include certain stars just to include them. But it's like, or do you? Because the second movie did that
mm-hmm.
with stupid little cameos. It's like, it's, you don't know. It would be really difficult. But at the same time, Gremlins is such a niche. There is.
Yeah.
I don't feel like there's a lot of people who would be like, Gremlins is my all-time favorite movie, and da-da-da-da-da.
Then there are those hardcore fans that are like, this movie that I've loved ever since I was a kid. Like, you know, the 40-year-olds, of you know, the fat hairy guys named Chuck that lives in their mother's basement, you know, they're going to be like, the Gremlins movie was terrible. It was nothing like the original, you know?
I feel like you can't please everyone, so honestly,
oh, for sure.
make it as camp as possible.
Yeah.
I recently tried to watch Thor: Love and Thunder, and man, that was rough.
See, I think
that was that was probably the worst Marvel movie in my opinion. I didn't even finish
Ragnarok?
It because I couldn't. No, Thor: Love
one.
And Thunder.
Oh, Love and Thunder.
Because there was
oh.
joke after joke after
yeah.
joke. There's a scene where children are kidnapped, but it's padded between 30 seconds of jokes.
Yeah, and I think that's a good example of
you can't do that.
Of a movie trying to be funny and lighthearted, making it too silly and too dumb. And just if the characters don't believe what's going on, then you're not going to.
There's no stakes. There are stakes, but the characters don't take them seriously. Why should I?
So far into the point that they miss it.
Yeah.
Of like trying to be funny.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Well, Ragnarok hits a perfect balance between being a good lighthearted movie, more like The Guardians, of course, but still having some serious undertones that Thor, you know, the other two Thor movies are known for.
And in The Gremlins, both 1 and 2, the stakes are real for the characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These little Yodas on bath salts, I'll say it again, they're destroying the town and they're killing people. People that mostly deserved it.
Because there's also a bunch of subplots in the movie, too. Like, there's the whole thing in the second movie where it's the guy and his partner and his boss is trying to get with him. Like, there's a bunch of little subplots that happen throughout the movie. So it's not just the characters versus the gremlins. It's also sometimes the characters versus each other.
Mm-hmm. Which is a real world. They built a real world where we can be entertained by it's getting destructing, getting destroyed by gremlins. But they're actually, like, they have stakes.
Right.
The mall's destroyed or whatever. And we find that entertaining. Whereas Thor, Love, and Thunder, such a strange comparison, but I think it works pretty well. I'm not taking it seriously because the characters aren't taking it seriously.
Yeah. I would want to know if they made a Gremlins 3. I genuinely would want, because something big would have to happen. There would have to be something where it's like, Gremlins now have this ability, and it is bad. So they've already introduced in the second movie that there was something that could be added to the Gremlins to make them, oh, they can come out in sunlight. Okay, so we got that. What could be done? I feel like I see a mega gremlin. Like, I just see
just
all the gremlins coming together as like a huge Godzilla. But it's still funny because he's not killing people. He's just like picking up buildings and be like, using them as airplanes. Yeah, that's what I see. Like, I think having a monster that has the ability to be extremely deadly and detrimental and kill society. And he's just like,
you
can totally do like a King Kong bit with it too.
He would too. A gremlin would. A gremlin would. And that's so funny. But I would want to know, like, can they now? I don't know. I would want to know, where could you go with it? That is like, because you'd have to have at least three things where it's like, they can now do this, they can now do this, oh, and then the really bad thing, they can now do this. How are the characters going to handle it?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where they could go. Do the gremlins go wheels and extra set of arms? Do they, like, what can they do?
I think the morphing is a good one.
Very true.
Combining, yeah.
Combining into Mega Grem.
Yeah, right? it just becomes another episode of Power Rangers at that point.
True. It's just like a huge gremlin, or it's like Evil Dead, where it's like all the gremlins, but it's like all their body parts, and it's just like a flesh monster of gremlin. Like, what could you do?
Okay, okay. Here's some Gremlins 3 news.
Yes.
There have been rumors about it since Gremlins 2, but Gremlins 2 did not make as much money as they wanted. It grossed only about $41 million compared to like the $70 million that Gremlins 1 made.
Mm.
However, the hype was there. The people that saw Gremlins 2 in theaters loved it. It got much better critical responses, but it didn't make that much money. So there was always talks, but yet not a confirmal from Warner Brothers. That all changed in 2010 and 11 when Warner Bros. Renewed the domain for Gremlins 3. So they have the rights to the name Gremlins 3. But that has also been 12 years ago.
No, right. It needs to happen.
But there is that show.
Yeah,
Gremlins,
Mogwai.
Secret of Mogwai. I watched for the first episode of it. Very strange. If you have like a 2-year-old, that's a good show for him. But like,
is it Gizmo?
Yeah, it's Gizmo.
Still Gizmo, okay.
It's a young version of the old man.
Oh,
okay.
It's like, yeah.
It's and a prequel
thing. It's like Rick and Morty, because there's like a grandpa. It's like, Sam, look at me, Sam. We gotta save the Mogwai, Sam. I mean, exactly like that.
Uh-huh.
So
I hope they make another Gremlins. I think it's what the world needs. I think, honestly, making it to where it's another holiday movie would be a really good move.
I think that's the only way you can, right?
How can you
not have Gremlins in, like, holiday season?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it's the only way they can do it.
It's like the only way you can have another Die Hard at this point is still having
if it's a Christmas
movie.
Christmas!
But like, do we need another Gremlins movie? Like,
I think so. With all these, respectfully, with all these superhero movies coming out, we need another campy movie. Yeah. But I'm also an avid believer in, like, stop with the sequels. So it's kind of a...
It's a catch-22.
It is, because, like, I love just Gremlins, when to but stop, also... Though. Like, I wish they would bring back... There were so many original ideas when it came to Gremlins, Little Monsters, Little Shop of Horrors. Like, who just thinks of that? Who... What? It's so weird... What?
People on a trip.
Yeah! We need more more drugs in America. So we can get better movies.
Oh my goodness!
I'm voting for you for president. President Bates.
More drugs. The only thing that they're for is to make movie ideas. Campy movies.
I don't know if I should use that as a clip or not. I don't...
I mean, it was responsible for Scooby-Doo, and that's a true story.
It's funny because it's the exact same thing. They did the first live action. It did pretty well. They did the second live action. I love the second live action. It had a much larger budget, but it didn't do as good as the first one.
I think that time is over for the most part, because nowadays we're seeing with over-sequelization comes with it. The sequel actually does better financially than the original. Whether it's a better movie is debatable. Like, I would say that about the Black Panther movies. The first one, phenomenal. Second one, not so great, but made a lot more money.
Right.
I think those fears of it are dead. I think if there is a Gremlins 3, there'd be a guaranteed Gremlins 4.
It'll sell.
It would sell.
Oh, I don't know about a 4.
Well, here's the thing. Money is power in money. Hollywood. And congratulations to the writers. They're back at work. I don't know if the actors will be by the time this comes out, but Hollywood is it's picking its gears up again. I don't know if Gremlins 3 would be the most original idea and the most groundbreaking thing.
But also, again, we live in a time where it's all about kind of like rebooting or continuing an old franchise too. Yeah. Like, my only concern is knowing when to stop, right? And I don't know if Gremlins needs to continue or not. Would I love to see another one? Yeah, of course. I love the two that we have, but I don't know. It's a weird thing, you know, because like Indiana Jones, right? We got that fifth one. Did we need it? No, but we got it.
I'm trying to think of other comparable franchises.
I just
RoboCop.
Like,
do you want to see another RoboCop?
After 2014, no thank you.
I just don't like when they bring back the main character and it's like, and they're here for one last battle. I'm like, let's be honest. This guy is now 50. He'd get smoked by gremlins, dude. Yeah. Like, they would tear off the tennis balls off his walker and throw him into oncoming traffic, and he's done for the rest of the movie. Like, I want...
To be fair, he looks good for his age.
I mean, probably. But he like, does. But, like, still, though, like, I just don't like movies where it's just the same original character. Like, I get it. I understand why. But at the same time, like... If I was that main character, I'd be like, let me live. Let me breathe, bro.
Yeah.
Because then you get into the logistics of, did Gizmo age? Is he now a little baby old man?
I mean, like, how long does it take for a Mogwai to age?
I mean, I guess we find out. Bro, it just zooms in on, like, a tombstone. And it's like, Gizmo.
Gizmo has died. Everyone has died. We're making a movie, but we're not having any of the returning characters.
The only character that returns is Gremlin. She's here to save the world.
I thought I don't remember the name of his girlfriend and then wife, but how she trauma dumps at every opportunity.
I was trying to find a place to bring it up. Yeah, yeah.
That was a very funny bit where he was like, honey, we don't have the time for her to describe.
And just in the first film, it just comes out of nowhere when they're trapped inside that the theater, I think, or wherever it was, just like, oh, I hate Christmas now. My dad climbed up the chimney,
dressed
as Santa, then fell and broke his neck.
It's like the slow zoom with the fire on her face, and you're like, there's literally little green monsters smearing paint all over my walls.
That's
like,
why I hate Christmas.
Okay. You know why I hate Christmas? There's little green monsters in my kitchen.
She's like, this doesn't compare to the Christmas where I lost my dad.
I lost my car.
Can you speed things up right now?
People are dying.
People are dying.
Dying. My dad died.
People are getting minorly inconvenienced, but it's still the same shot of like the fire like flickering in her face.
I don't know if I should have taken that scene seriously because I thought it was a little funny in the context.
That's what makes it campy though, is because the character takes it so seriously. If the characters are involved, you're going to be involved, even if it doesn't make sense. But I love that. I love that.
Yeah, in the second film, they just kind of made fun of that first bit, just cutting her off. Just no. We're not going to go with Thanksgiving now. Let's move on.
You know what I'm glad didn't happen with Gremlins 3?
What's
that? I'm glad it didn't start production immediately after the license was renewed.
Interesting.
Because that would have came out in the late, early 2010s, the same time as Zack Snyder's Superman, the same time as the Justice League. It would have been edgy and serious. The same time as The Predator 2018, which was, I think that was a little silly. It got Key in it.
It wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad, but it certainly was not great. Whereas the recent Predator movie, Prey, was awesome.
Is that a movie or a show?
It's on Hulu. I think it was a movie.
Oh,
but
okay.
It just follows a Native American getting hunted by the Predator, which is a great, interesting, unique take on the Predator franchise. And hopefully we get that. Nope, I take that back. We don't need that for the Gremlins. It's just a silly little thing. It's just a silly little movie, and it should stay silly.
Yeah.
Don't be too serious.
Gremlins
don't get Zack Snyder
make
to do the Gremlins.
Gremlins 3 would make my heart happy, but at the same time, it's not what we need.
Mm.
It's not what we need. Not right now. I think maybe if we try to hopefully get past this era of sequels and just bringing old Disney another live action. We don't need it. We don't need it. Do you know we need a live action of Monster House? But
yo.
Right, hot take, that's good.
Yo.
But, like, I'm hoping if we get past this period of superhero movies and sequels, I feel like that's a good portion. I think we're kind of getting out of it now a little bit, especially with the end of essentially the main Avengers movies and everything. I feel like we're kind of getting past it, especially with, like, the new Saw movie, Barbie. There's a lot of indie films that are making their ways into theaters again.
Yeah, A24 is on top of things.
Which is amazing. I think we're getting kind of back into that, so I'm really hoping we're going in a positive direction, and then they should make Gremlins 3. Bring it back.
Just take a step backwards a little bit.
Have everything get good again, and then Gremlins 3, and then it can keep on going.
Hey, man, one hiccup is acceptable.
Exactly. Yeah. Gremlins 3 can be that hiccup. Take my money.
Take it!
Who would you cast in Gremlins 3?
Me.
Mm-hmm.
That's
why I wanted to halt on filming, so I'm like, wait till I get there, and then we can start. Yeah.
Wait till I become a star actress at Warner Brothers.
Would you want to be the heroinette, or would you want to voice a gremlin?
I'm not going to lie. I would really like to voice
She'd
a gremlin.
Be in the suit.
I would love the mega grem. I would love to either be a puppeteer or be the voice of Gremlet. I think that'd be funny.
You know what would be a good bit if we're like serious about that whole Godzilla gremlin thing? If it's shot as like a old original Godzilla movie,
yes.
That would be sick. And the music too.
I think playing with the idea that the gremlins have the ability to hijack the movie, so playing with the new idea of streaming services and live streams, having a gremlin live stream.
A Twitch gremlin.
That would be so funny!
Really, there's so much you could do with that AI gremlin. Like, there's a lot, honestly, you could do with modern technology coming in. Can you imagine a gremlin with an iPhone? iPad Mogwai.
It would be an iPad kid.
iPad Gizmo. Oh, my gosh. He's on his iPad.
Oh, that got me.
Literally, I take it back. There's a lot they could do that would be really good.
If you ever do a makeup look inspired by gremlins, you should just, like, make it a normal one where it's, like, you're singing along, then it cuts to static, and then it's just you as a gremlin, like, what's
going on? Oh, that's a good bit.
I'll do just that. I really want to do it. I just have to make the props for it. I want to do a gremlet makeup look.
I feel like you've done more complex looks than what gremlins would require, to be honest.
But I would want a lot of prosthetics.
Definitely.
For it, because I wouldn't want to paint it on. Like, they have a lot of, like, ridges and, like,
scales.
Everything's in, like,
and
huge
the teeth,
ears.
The ears is the big
I would want to, I would want to commit to the bit if I was going to do a gremlin look. She's been in my books, specifically Gremlet. Like, Stripe would be really cool. But, she's been in my books. I got my eye on her. But, yeah, Warner Bros. Needs someone to voice Gremlet. Hit me up.
Is this your official audition?
Do an audition take right now of a gremlin.
I feel like it'd just be like, yeah. Thank you.
Wow.
Warner Bros. Come find us.
I'm telling you, bro. I'm going to be like, Michael Winslow, do you remember me? I remember you. This is my audition. And a voice memo of me just being like, please stop contacting me. This is the 8th time this week.
Warner Bros, find Tatum at Tatum the Bates on TikTok and Instagram. Come on.
Send director Joe Dante this episode of Razzle Dazzle. It'll inspire him to come out of retirement.
Yeah.
We know you're listening.
We know you're listening. Obviously. We're sorry we had to make you sit through 40 minutes before you got to the good stuff.
The real meat of the episode.
You're perfect. You want a Gremlins reboot? Bam, your case is right in front of you.
Boom, one woman show.
One woman
There's
show.
There's no puppets. It's me. But like text, it says CGI gremlin like over my body as I'm making the noises like hunched on a fireplace or something.
Like in theater where you just get a piece of paper, write tree on it, you're just holding it.
Yeah. Okay. It's like, was that movie Velocipastor where it's like car effects, car exploding. But it's the guy reacting to it. Like all the characters are super into it. They're like, no, but I'm just like standing there like, yeah.
Oh my goodness. Anywhere else we want to go?
I mean, if there's a Gremlins 3, I hope it's announced after this episode.
Right?
That would be really cool.
Yeah.
It would be really unfortunate if it was before.
Yeah. Because they need to hear Tatum's audition.
Yeah.
Yeah. Duh. God, I'm going to be what inspires them to make the third one.
Hopefully. Yeah. I'm just going to take one look at you. Bam. We know what we're going to do.
Gremlin.
All right, that's all the time we have for today, guys. Thank you so much for joining us on another episode here on Razzle Dazzle. Make sure to let us know what you think of today's episode somewhere on the internet, and make sure to follow us on Instagram at Razzle Dazzle Show and on TikTok at Razzle_Dazzle_Show. Warner Brothers, follow Tatum at Tatum the Bates on TikTok and Instagram. Be sure to tune in every Thursday on the Eagle Radio Live 365 app, where we are live from 12 to 1 every Thursday, and we'll catch you on the next one. And happy holidays, everybody!
Woo! Rocking around
the Christmas tree.
I was really hoping you turned into Gremlin halfway through.
Sorry, I got lost in the sauce.